Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. Stop blaming the donkey. I had thought I was going in the same direction as last week, and the Lord led me to something else for this week, so we'll see next week about that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, as we open. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So I just want to repeat this verse. There is a way that seems right to a man. And when it says that, it is speaking of there is a way that seems right even to the Christian. There is a way that seems right to his or her natural mind, natural reasoning. And it seems very right. It seems the way to go. And yet, in the end, it leads to destruction and even to death. I want you to turn forward to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. We're in a passage here where the Lord is speaking to Israel concerning their future, a time that would come when His favor would be upon them and they would hear His voice. And this is also written for our benefit, for our learning. And he says these words. He says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." So I'm laying a foundation here. There's a way that seems right to your natural reasoning, and yet it leads to all kinds of problems. And yet God has promised to guide us with His Word and with His Spirit, so that there is a voice that speaks to us, turn to the right, turn to the left. This is the way, walk in it. There is a way that is not the way that man thinks, but there's a way that's contrary to the natural reasoning many times, but it's the way of the Lord. Just because a way seems right doesn't mean that it is right. Now, I'm going to make a blanket statement. I don't apologize for this. I just know this is the state of the church today in the Western Hemisphere. Most Christians, I would say over half, I believe much higher than that, but I will be gracious and say more than half. More than half of all Christians, I believe, in the Western Hemisphere today live according to the way that they think, according to the natural mind. There's a way that seems right, and yet it leads to death and destruction. And yet that is the way that the majority of Christians operate. They analyze with their mind, they think, and they look, and it may look good. It may not look sinful, may not appear to be contrary to the Word of God. And so they think, surely this must be the way that I am to go. But just because it seems right to a man or a woman does not mean that it is right, and does not mean that it is the way which God has ordained, that it is the will of God. This is a simple message about the will of God for your life. There is a way. There is a direction. There is a path that God desires for you to take. Now, I want you to see the twofold nature of this, of what I'm talking about. There is a way for your entire life. There is a direction. There is a path. There is something that God has ordained that is the way that seems right or that is right to God, not necessarily to your natural mind. That is the biggie. But then in every situation, in the smaller things, in the daily situations of life, we're faced with this same principle. Daily in our situations, there is a way that seems right to a man, and yet its ways lead to death within that particular situation. It can lead to destruction. God is wanting us to hear the way in those individual situations that He speaks, where He says, go left, go right, this is the way, walk in it. So there's a twofold application. The whole direction of our life, there's a way that He wants us to go, not kicking against it, but going with it. And then daily in the individual situations of our life, there's a way that also can seem right to our natural mind. But, beloved, if we live according to our natural mind, we fall into great difficulties in our spiritual walk. So in every situation, there's a way that seems right, but the important thing is to find the way that is right, the way that is the will of God. Amen? As we lay a foundation, let's take a moment to look at our Lord Jesus Christ, for He is our example. For the sake of time, we're not going to turn to these Scriptures, but in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, Scripture is quoted there from David, who spoke prophetically of Christ and said, "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." And I bring this up this morning to say this was the biggie. This was the direction of Jesus' life. I come to do your will, O God. He knew what the mission was, and God directed him at all times, and he went according to the flow of the will of God in his life. But we saw it manifest in his life very early on, even when he was a child. You young people, listen to this. When he was 12 years old, you know the story, as they went to Jerusalem each year for the Day of Atonement, and they went to the temple, and it was a huge entourage of people that filled Jerusalem, and travelers from all over, and Jesus was there with his parents, and when they left, they apparently thought that he was with some of the cousins or some other people. They traveled 3 days. Now, let's not beat up on Mary and Joseph, but they traveled 3 days not knowing, thinking that Jesus was with some of the other relatives. Then they discover that he is not with them, so they have to turn around, go back to Jerusalem, and they find him in the temple. And he's in the temple, 12 years old. He is discussing the things of God with the men who were the leaders of the religion of their day, the ones who had the most knowledge of the Word of God. He was astounding them with his knowledge of the Word of God. And when his mother and father said, "We were worried about you, where were you?" he said these words, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" At 12 years old, he knew what it was that was his Father's business. And I would ask you today, how many of us live 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, and we're still not able to say, "This is my Father's business that I'm tending to"? Someone asks you, "Why are you doing this?" "Because this is my Father's business. This is the will. I've come to do His will, and this is what He has outlined for my life, and I've apprehended it, not through the natural way that seems right to a man, but through hearing the voice of God and apprehending what His will is for my life." How important this is that we understand this, because there's a way that seems right, but, beloved, it leads to destruction. And what matters is the way that is right, which comes only by the revelation, in other words, by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, that we would be able to follow the Lord in our Father's business. Notice so far that we are establishing the will or the way of man that seems right to the natural mind and leads to death, as opposed to the way or the will of God which leads to life. One of the most devastating things that a believer can do is to seek to live according to what seems right to his own understanding, to his own natural mind, once God has worked the work of the new birth within you. Once you're a believer, once you're born again, then to continue to not grow as a believer, to not grow in learning to follow the very will of God for your life. And I would tell you this morning, beloved, that there is no more miserable place for the believer or the unbeliever, for that matter. But listen to this. There is no more miserable place than to be knowingly or unknowingly kicking against the way that God has ordained for your life, the path that He has chosen for you to take. If you remember, the Apostle Paul was living a life contrary to that perfect will of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was out persecuting the church, persecuting Christians. He was heading to Damascus, and there he had orders to take Christians and to throw them into prison. I don't know how many people perhaps had died because of his ruthless attacks against the Christian community. And the Lord apprehended him on the road to Damascus, and he had this revelation of Christ. Jesus appeared to him in a blinding light, knocked him from the animal that he was riding, and he came up against the perfect will of God. And the Lord Jesus spoke to him. Saul at that time was his name. He said, "Who are you?" And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Why, Saul, do you kick against the goads? Now, the goads were the equivalent in that day of spurs today that you used to cause the horse to go in the direction that you want it to go. Sharp pointed sticks that were used on an ox or some other animal to drive them forward in the will of the one who was riding it. And Jesus said to Paul, why do you keep kicking against my spurs? I have a will for your life, but you're going the way Saul thought he was doing what was right before God. He thought the Christians were wrong. He was standing with the religion of his day. There's a way that seems right to a man. Jesus said, no, 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 no. Why are you kicking against my way, against the spurs of my authority for your life? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its way leads to death. There is some aspect of the Father's business which is ordained for each one of us. For each one of us, some aspect of the Father's business. Once again, I want to repeat the twofold aspect of this thing. There is the overall direction of your life. And then there are those daily specific circumstances. Sometimes it's those things that you come up against that you try to fix in your own strength. You try to drive that thing. You'll know what I mean in a few moments, but some of you will understand even now what I'm saying. How many times did you try to drive when you didn't need to be in the driver's seat? As a Christian, how many times did you try to steer things? Did you try to manipulate things? Did you try to control things when the Lord Jesus has a way for you to go if we will but sit and listen and ask Him what it is? How many times do we try to drive the circumstances of our life because we had already analyzed and we had already thought, there's the way, it seems right to me, surely it must be right. When in reality, the Lord has a voice that speaks, no, 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 this is the way to the left or to the right, and I want you to walk in this way. Sometimes it's those things you're trying to force, those things that you're trying to make happen. And sometimes it seems that the very universe is fighting against you. You remember when Deborah, great Deborah of the Old Testament, you remember when Deborah took Barak and went up against the armies of Jabin, king of the Amorites? Do you remember when they went up and fought against the enemy general, which was Sisera? And after they had this great victory, Deborah, she wrote a song. And she sang this song before all of Israel. And there were a couple of lines in it that I want to lift out for you. In one line, she says, the stars fought against Sisera. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean that she was upholding astrology. That doesn't mean that she thought that the courses of the heavens were plotted in such a way that things went in her favor. No, no, no. It was poetic language, and this was what she meant. What she meant was something we have all experienced. She said, because I am on God's side and God is on my side, the very universe is with me and against those who are coming against Israel. You'll understand this more in a minute. She said something else. She said the Kishon flooded. The river Kishon came and flooded and carried their army away. And what she was speaking of was similar to here in Arizona. They would have what we call a wash, a dry riverbed that seasonally would fill with water. And when it did, it would flood. And it was a mighty torrent. This was called the Torrent of Kishon, this particular place. And it was not the season for it to overflow. But when she went with the armies, God's people, against the enemy armies, God sent a flood through the river Kishon, through that dry riverbed where they were not expecting it, and it washed the enemy army. It washed them away, much of the army. And what she is saying here is the very universe, because I'm standing with God and I'm in the will of God, the very universe stands with me and fights against my enemies. There are some floods, beloved, that come because we are in the will of God, and those floods, God has given us a promise. He says that flood will not wash you away, and those fires that come against you will not burn you. because you are in the will of God. But beloved, when we are fighting against the goads, when we are kicking against God's authority, when we are a believer and we have been born again and we are walking according to our own natural reasoning, then you will experience, listen closely because I have experienced this, you will experience in your life the very stars fighting against you. You will experience the very floods that come because you are walking contrary to the will of God. You will find circumstances working against you. You will say, I'm going the way that seems right to me, but I've not listened and surrendered fully to the way that God says is right. And you'll find that it's like you are just pushing against the entire universe, and all circumstances seem to be working against you because there is a way that seems right to you, but its way leads to death and destruction. And the question is, are we tuned to the Spirit of God so that we can discern, is this a flood because I am in the will of God and it is an attack of the enemy? Or is it a flood because I am walking against the very flow of the will of Almighty God for my life? You see, some things come from the Lord to test us, to test our resolve, to test our patience, to test our perseverance, our character, our integrity in times of trouble. But the most devastating place is when we cannot stand in the certainty. Listen closely to this. When we cannot stand in the certainty of the will of God for our lives. Because that is the only place, my friends, that you can find peace. It is the only place that you find peace is when you're able to rest in knowing that you are going, that you are moving in the flow, the direction of God's will for your life. When we are tossed because everything is working against us, because we are fighting against God's will, then we blame everything and everyone around us, and we blame our circumstances because nothing seems to be going right. But there is a Father's business. There's a way for you and me. Leads to life. There's a will of God. Now turn with me to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. To a story in the Old Testament that if it weren't so serious, it would be hilarious. Now before we read, because if you've read the story of Balaam before, I want to just get a couple of things out of the way. I want to keep this simple, and I don't want us going off on other tangents with our thoughts, because Balaam is a complex and confusing character in the Old Testament, to say the least. I'm just going to say that because it's one of those things that every commentary you pick up just about is going to have a different view about Balaam. It's hard to pin him down. We know what the New Testament says about him, and I'll come to that. Some believe that he was just totally pagan soothsayer who also pretended to be one who worked for Jehovah God at times. Others see him as a prophet of God who was compromised. And so he had a mixture of paganism in with his worship of Jehovah. Either way doesn't matter to our story today. The important thing that I want us to see, the New Testament says very clearly that he could be bought. The New Testament says he would prophesy for money. Very much like many that we find in the church today who will say, you know, send me an offering and I'll give you a word from God. This was the direction of Balaam's life, is that he had a reputation. The enemies of Israel knew that this prophet could be bought in order to curse or bless, in order to get a word from God. And the New Testament condemns his actions in that. But we are looking at just one incident in his life and one thing that is specifically clear. And that is that in chapter 22, when we look at Balaam heading out we will see that it is a time in his life when he is out of the will of God. Now, what makes it more confusing is that, let me just give you a little background real quickly. Israel's enemies sent word to Balaam to come and to curse Israel for them. The kings of these enemy tribes wanted Balaam to come and put a curse on Israel, and he refuses several times at first. And then, very confusing to us, he has an encounter with God where God tells him something and he consents to go. And the reason it is confusing is because to us who read it, basically this is the gist of it. God tells him to go, then when he goes, God's angry with him for going. And we read it and we shake our head and we say, okay, I don't understand. Well, beloved, when there's something like that that we don't understand, it's not because there's a problem with God or that God is not righteous. It's something that we don't understand. And I don't want us to get hung up on that today. But there are those who say that the key to that is in verse 20, if you will look at that. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that shall you do. Notice he says, if the men come to you. But then in the next verse, it just says, so Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. And I'm no scholar on this, but from what I have read, it seems that in the original, you know, God put a very specific condition, which God often did, and said, if they come to you, then go with them. And they did not come to him. He rose in the morning, and he went to them, and he initiated it. And so God, no matter how you interpret that or how you look at it, for our story today, what you need to understand as we begin in verse 22 is that when Balaam starts out heading towards them, he is out of the will of God. He is out of the will of God, and we have a scene that happens here that will speak volumes to our life if we will but let it. And so I want us to look at his journey, and I want us to begin in verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And what I want you to see in this verse as we begin, here is a man who claims to know God anyway. Here's a man who sets out on a journey, and he is out of the will of God. He is riding on his donkey as he makes his way, and unseen to his natural eyes. Remember, now he has chosen a way that seems right to him. Unseen to his natural eyes, the angel of the Lord is standing before him, blocking the way, wanting to redirect his life. And the angel of the Lord is none other than the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. So here is the very Lord. Here is Jehovah. Here is God standing in his way. And it says, I want you to notice these words. What an incredible statement. The Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary. As an adversary against him. And I want you to also notice that his two servants were with him. Now, I'm just going to say to you this morning, whether you're a lost person or whether you're a Christian who is choosing to walk in the way that seems right to you, but it's not the will of God. Beloved, it is a very, very difficult place to be when the Lord Jesus Christ stands as your adversary. Stands as your adversary. And you may say, but you're talking to Christians. I'm going to tell you, there are times when God has his hand on you, just like he wants to redirect this man right here. God has his hand on you, and you're determined to go the way of your own thinking. It becomes, though he has grace, though you're saved, I'm not talking about your salvation or loss of salvation, but in your circumstances, it can be that the Lord begins to bar your way because he wants to redirect your life, and he stands as an adversary to the direction that you have chosen to go, the way that you have chosen, which seems right to you because it leads to destruction. And it can be a painful thing, I can tell you, when Christ stands as your adversary. I can think of two times in my life that the Lord stood to redirect my life because I was going a way that seemed right. Didn't seem sinful or anything like that. Seemed like a way that honored him and would glorify him. I remember a time when God wanted me to be about His business, to be about my Father's business, as in being a pastor, being in ministry. And I had chosen a different way. And it was a way that I thought would glorify God. And I used my gifts and my talents to the glory of God. And I remember, I'll come back to that. But I'm just going to say that it was a way that seemed right and it seemed good to me. And I'm just going to tell you that when the Lord Jesus is standing in your way and you're heading that, you have chosen that way that's contrary to His will, you can get pretty well banged up trying to go your own way. In verse 22 again, it's the angel of Jehovah that takes his stand. It is the Lord Jesus Christ as an adversary. And here is Balaam riding on this donkey. And these two servants are very important in my mind as I read this. Because when you're on this path, listen to me, when you're on this path and you're going contrary to the will of God, you may not realize it, but there's always someone that you're influencing. And these two servants are here throughout this whole thing. They're not even mentioned again. But I want us to remember that they're here and they're watching. They're watching this man as the Lord is trying to redirect his life. And he's trying to force his own circumstances, trying to plow his way through to where he wants to go. Beloved, there are always those who are watching you. And the amazing thing is, especially with believers, sometimes even with unbelievers, they can often know that you are going in a way that's contrary to what God has ordained for your life. And they'll even try to tell you. And you can be so determined. Balaam didn't see Jesus standing in his path. And we can walk in a blindness, though we're even believers. And the Lord is trying to redirect our life and we just will not listen. I remember as a young man when Maggie and I were first married, and even before that, but up for a number of years there, I remember people saying, "Don't you know? Don't you think that you're supposed to be in ministry? Don't you see that God has called you?" And I was so stubborn, and I would say, even to her, I would say, "Don't you think I would know if God was calling me?" And I did know when I was 10 years old. But you see, I came up with a path that seemed right to me to serve Him. A way that seemed right to me and determined to follow that path. There was another time, I may come back to that. No, I'll just go and say there was a time then in circumstances. There was a time in ministry that I had determined to do something and I had made a promise. And I had determined to do something within the life of the church that could seem like a good thing and a right thing. It wasn't like it was a sinful thing. But God said, "No, this is not what I have determined for you to do. And you're not to do this at this time." And I had already said I was going to do it. And I kept making plans. Well, I didn't hear Him saying no because I wouldn't listen. And I was just like Balaam, driving that donkey. Man, I beat that donkey and I drove that donkey until the Lord just, we'll see in this story what God does, till that donkey just sat down and wouldn't go any further, and I had to repent. In verse 23, "Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord." The donkey saw the angel of the Lord, but we often don't. "The donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road." Now this donkey may represent several things in your life, but ultimately she represents your own will being forced. Your own will trying to carry out through your own desires, controlling your own circumstances, your relationships, your path, your journey, trying to make it go the way that you want it to go. She can represent you trying to get others to do things your way in order to get what you want. Ultimately, and here's what we must see, is that no matter how hard we drive things, listen to this, church, no matter how hard we drive things, God is sovereign and He is in control over all. And when we fight against Him, the very stars fight against us. When we fight against Him, the universe fights against us. Here we see Balaam is going the wrong way. We know in this story that he's going the wrong way. And God seeks to correct him. God, how many of you know God tries to correct you sometimes through your circumstances when you don't hear Him? So He tries to correct you. He puts things up in front of you and He wants to channel you in a certain direction. And we're so stubborn that we just keep pushing those things out of the way to go the way that we want to go. But God sought to correct him by circumstances. There was a field. And in the Word of God, a field is a place of fruit. It's a place of harvest. It's a good place. For the Christian, it's a place of service. It's a place of productivity. It's a place where we reap for the Lord in this life. It is a direction for our life. And so here, the Lord stands in the way and the donkey has to move. And he takes Balaam out into the field. But Balaam doesn't want the field. He wants his own way. How many of you know God has a field for your life? He has a field in which He wants you to be planted. He has a place where He wants you to serve. He has a direction for your life. And you can beat that donkey, and you can blame that donkey, and you can force him back on your road and your way all you want to, but there is the Lord Himself standing as your adversary. So the Lord tries to correct him. He goes off into the field. He beats the donkey to get her back onto the road of his own choosing. How many times have you and I beaten the donkey? How many times have we hit that poor donkey because we don't like the field to which God has directed us? Only to get back onto the road and still be spiritually blind and not see the Lord blocking our way. We just want to blame the donkey. Your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your friends, your co-workers, the bad hand that you got dealt, the things life has thrown at you, the circumstances. It's always the donkey's fault. We want to blame the donkey. And God's trying to use the donkey to get us where He wants us to be. Into the field of God's will for our life. Many times, we, because of our own stubbornness, are blind to the fact that God is standing in our way, while others around us can see it plain as day. In verses 28 through 31, then the Lord opened the mouth. Oh, I jumped ahead of myself. Sorry. Verses 24 and 25. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. I remember riding a pony when I was a kid, and the pony wasn't doing what I told it to do. It's kind of like Balaam's donkey. And took me through a gate that was too narrow for both of us. Nearly crushed my foot on the gatepost. But beloved, far worse than that. It's what happens when God tries to get us into the field of His choosing. And we keep wanting to stay on the path of our own choosing. And He keeps putting roadblocks. He'll keep doing this. There's a pattern here in this story that is set up. First, He directs him. He goes out the field. He doesn't like the field, so he beats the donkey, gets back on the road. So now the Lord makes it a little rougher. And there's a place with vineyards on both sides and a rock wall. And the vineyards, you know in the Word of God, when you're studying the Word of God, if the Lord says something twice, you need to really take heed. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." That means listen, listen. This is important. And the Lord is saying something two ways here. The first was the field is a place of service. It's a place of fruitfulness, productivity for your life. So is the vineyard. And now there are two. There's a vineyard on each side. And so it's doubly important that we listen because He has a place of fruitfulness. Jesus even said, speaking of the grapevine of the vineyard, He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit." You must be in the vineyard and your branch must be grafted into the Lord who is the vine in order to produce much fruit. And in this story we see that there is a wall. Because if we are determined to go our own way, there's a wall that surrounds that vineyard. God's protective of His vineyard. He doesn't want us just jumping over into the vineyard and back out. He's going to put a wall there because there has to be a determination. Okay, Lord, I don't choose that which seems right to me anymore. I choose to be permanently in the vineyard where You want me planted. Not hopping in and out. So He wants to stay on the road. And you will come to that wall. You come up against a wall in your walk with God. This donkey pushed up against the wall and injured Balaam's foot. And I know that there are some of you in here today that if you look back, you can testify, yep, I've got some scars because I kept trying to go the way that seemed right to me. God had to deal severely with me. For the Apostle Paul, it was that wall of the blinding light. For Jonah, it was a great big fish. And we can find this for many others in the Word of God. But this time, the circumstance crushed Balaam's foot. He was injured. And many times that's what happens to us. We keep going our own way until it gets so painful. Notice, it's painful now, but he still doesn't see Jesus. It's painful now, he's still not questioning what he's doing. He's not saying, why is my donkey going crazy on me? He's not saying, did I do wrong in not listening closely to the voice of God? He's not replaying what the Lord said in his mind and saying, okay, have I missed something here? Am I out of the will of God? No, he's just determined and he's still blind. And then sometimes because of the grace of God, praise God for his grace. Amen? Because of the grace of God, we see what happens next. Verses 26 and 27, there's a third incident. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. God says, you won't listen to me, I'm going to bring you into a place where you can't turn right or left. Where you're going to be confronted with me and where your circumstances, it's all just going to collapse. And you'll have to listen. And beloved, I've been there. The Lord will bring you to a place. There's a way that seems right to a man. And you keep following that way. And you will come to a place. If God has His hand on you, you're a believer. And you have wanted to serve Him, and you know that God loves you and that He died for you, and you have made your commitment to Him. He's got His hand on you, but you don't want to go. You don't want to have to find that place where all of the circumstances just blow up in your face and the donkey sits down under you. Or maybe you do want to. Maybe it's the best thing if you're not going to listen. I do wish that I had listened sooner and not had to go until the donkey sat down, quite frankly. The donkey sits down and he keeps beating the poor donkey. The Lord blocks his way. God stops him. Still he doesn't see. Because we still don't always recognize immediately that it's God. But then the miracle happens. Praise God for the miracle. The ability to see and to hear. Even if it takes a donkey. Up until now, Balaam did not hear that it was God speaking in this place. He did not see that it was the hand of God, that the Lord was standing in his way. The circumstances of his journey, he didn't look at them with spiritual eyes and say, what is God saying? What is God saying to me in this? Then, the miracle. The donkey began to speak. Now, I don't know about you, because I believe in the Word of God. I believe every word of it's true. I'm just going to tell you, this Balaam is quite a character. Because if the donkey started speaking to me, I would be running back to the place that God spoke to me. And I don't know that I would tell anyone. But here's Balaam. The donkey speaks to him And he wants to argue. Verses 28 through 31, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me." Now, this is the pot calling the kettle black. "Because you have abused me. I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." So he has this conversation with the donkey. And it's still all the donkey's fault. Beloved, you have to come to the place in your life where you stop blaming the donkey. And you say, "Lord, if you're standing in my way, correct me. Speak to me. Show me what you want from me." There is a time, if you are a believer and you belong to God and you're going your own way, that when it all comes crashing down, suddenly even the donkey begins to speak. Suddenly the circumstances that you tried to control and that then you thought were all against you, suddenly the Lord opens your ears. You're willing to listen. Suddenly you can hear the circumstances speak. See, God speaks in His Word, but He also speaks in a still small voice. He also speaks through circumstances. He also speaks through other people into your life. And there comes a time when the donkey just quits. And the circumstances speak loud and clear. And that's what happens to Balaam. And the Lord says, "Why are you blaming the donkey? This is my doing. This is my doing." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold," listen to this, "I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." Now, beloved, it doesn't have to be because you're a false prophet or you're a pagan. If you're going the way of your own choosing and you're a believer, it's a perverse way to God. He said, "Cursed is the man who leans on the arm of flesh, but blessed is the man who trusted the Lord." He's called us to be a people who listen to the pathway, the voice giving us the pathway that He has outlined for us. The Lord says, "This was my doing. I'm in control of this journey, not your circumstances, and certainly not you." Beloved, it's not a long message. Today, it's not the donkey's fault. That's what God wants you to hear, and I don't know who that's for. But it's not the donkey's fault, it's your fault, just as it was my fault. It's not the donkey's fault. Stop beating the donkey. You're driving everything in the wrong direction. You're trying to go somewhere that He hasn't spoken. You're avoiding the field, and you're avoiding the vineyards that He has ordained for you and He has planned for you. And the best thing that can happen to you, if this is where you are today, the best thing that can happen to you is that the donkey just sits down and quits today. And you hear Him speak. He says, "Why are you beating me?" It's not your wife's fault. It's not your husband's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your children's fault. It's not the job's fault. It's not your circumstances. It's not the lack of money. It's not the flood that seems to come against your life. It's none of those things. It's the Lord wanting you to listen. We're going to close in worship, and I invite you to let this sink in and to say, God, what are you wanting to speak into my heart today? Stop kicking against the goads. Stop beating the donkey. And stop blaming the circumstances. Say, Lord, put me on the road that you have ordained. Amen. If you need prayer today, I invite you to come. If you've not surrendered your heart to the Lord, this is a time for surrender. Because that's what He has called us to. Let's stand.